Big Blue Insider is on News Radio 630 WLAP and the iHeartRadio app. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Or you can tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Welcome to the Big Blue Insider on another spectacularly gorgeous day. It should be like this when Saturday begins, game day, of course. Don't know if we'll get through the entire game without any rain. Don't know who that would help. But I hope the rain holds off. It's supposed to hold off until Sunday, but it's getting closer from what I understand. So, might not be perfect, but it wouldn't matter if the Wildcats win it. We're here to talk about that tonight with you. Yours truly, Billy Rutledge. And Christy Thomas will join us. She, of course, will be not only hosting the pregame radio show, but she is the in-game host at the stadium. And she will have her hands full. There's going to be a lot of energy happening in that ball yard Saturday night, so we will talk to her about that as well. And in our second hour, Derek Abney will join us. That's right. The former Wildcat receiver who set records returning kicks and punts for touchdowns and caught touchdown passes. He was in the stands Saturday night in South Carolina. He lives in Charleston now. He's an engineer down there. And we'll have a chance to get his thoughts on what he saw from the Wildcats. Obviously, he'll have a few things to say about turnovers, but I want to hear what he has to say about this Kentucky offense. So lots to do tonight, and then we will wrap things up, as we always do, on Thursdays with Billy's attempt to help you with your fantasy team. How about that? And I don't know about you, Billy, but it's kind of an interesting, in a backhanded way, matchup tonight, only in that you've got two quarterbacks, each of whom has won a college championship, and they played against each other for one of those. Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow.
That's true. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. The last two number one overall picks in the NFL as well. You know, Jaguars and Urban Meyer seem to be a little bit of a mess right now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even with the pick six, the kick six, that is, against Arizona, they still lost that game. But, you know, cool Joe Burrow and those Bengals, they seem to be making moves, beating the Steelers this past week. I'm thinking Joe Mixon's going to have a big night tonight.
Yeah, and maybe Ja'Marr Chase, he's caught four touchdown passes from Joe Burrow.
You can see that ball flying in the air, Dick, despite no white lines on it.
Burrow's 11 of 16 throwing a ball to him. So I guess it was a good pickup, at least right now we can say it is. While we're on the NFL, we're going to shift to the college game here quickly. But are you excited about the announcement of the upcoming Super Bowl 56 halftime show? Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar.
I mean, maybe if it was 2002, Dick.
Wow. 43 Grammys, I think it is, 19 Billboard number one albums, and Billy's turning up his nose at him.
Look, it'll be nice to see Snoop Dogg and Kendrick Lamar, and Dr. Dre has definitely got some hits, but, I mean, you're telling me the prime of these musicians was probably 20 years ago. So,
yeah, but
you know what? They'll be entertaining.
Who's your audience, though? Who's your audience?
Everyone. I mean, the entire country watches
right.
this game.
Not
you
just
say?
Yes, that's my point. Not just folks your age. I mean,
hey,
you're
I can be cynical.
Right.
Okay,
of course you are. That's what we pay you for. We pay you a pretty penny, Mister, for that cynicism. Before we get to football, I did want to mention quickly, and you may have seen this, of course, but times are pretty much locked in for most UK basketball games. And just when in doubt, think 7 p.m. because most of them are 7 p.m. tips. There is a dreaded 9 p.m. tip in there somewhere. I saw, well, there's an 8:30 at Texas A&M. Yeah, 9 p.m. Mississippi State here in Lexington, January 25th. And what's our standard answer? Why? Television, of course. But the first, 10 or 12 games minus the Duke game. We don't know what time they're going to play Duke. which is on a neutral floor, of course, on November 9th. Everything else, 7 p.m., 7 p.m., the home game with Albany is a TBD time start, as is the Central Michigan game. Then Notre Dame is another one to be decided. Ohio State, that's neutral site. Louisville, Wednesday at 6 o'clock, December 22nd. And obviously that's got everything to do with television, but man, Billy, I can't remember the last time that game was midweek.
Yeah, midweek and at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's like we got to fit that game in between all the Rudolph specials that you're playing that month.
It makes you wonder, did the powers that be at, it had to be ESPN because CBS isn't going to be interested in this one. And that's a more on Louisville than Kentucky. And look, there was a point where this game was almost irrelevant. It had basically, I can't remember if it was on ESPN2 when very few people had it, or TBS or something like that. Then both programs got strong again. But Wednesday at 6, and that's the game that they play before they turn everybody loose for Christmas. And that's happened more than once. You know, kids want to get out of there. We, you know, we don't have a chance to interview some people because they want to get out of here and get home or catch a plane or something like that. That's the pre-Christmas game, like Billy said. Watch the game and dial up Rudolph and whatever. The
Frosty.
Following, and Frosty, that's yeah. Right. The following week is the conference opener at home with Missouri, then High Point. Wildcats, other than the neutral sites, don't leave home until January 4 at LSU. Then obviously the conference schedule takes hold. The Big 12 SEC Challenge, I think we talked about this last night, that's a 6 o'clock start as well, and they're at Kansas. I have actually been out there two or three times to cover Kentucky-Kansas basketball. It is a ball. I think maybe Kentucky won once. Otherwise, got spanked pretty handily. Tough place to play, I can tell you that. UKAthletics.com has a schedule if you want to make your plans. The Golden Arm Award watch list has been, and of course that's the Johnny Unitas Award, has been pared down to 25. Will Levis not on it. Not surprising, his numbers, of course, were dramatic after the season opener, not so much since then. Malik Cunningham is on that list. He's had a big year. I know Louisville is not great, not bad, not great. He's been really strong, no question about that. Connor Bazelak, Missouri, yes. Matt Corral, Ole Miss. What do you think happens if Ole Miss jumps up and beats Alabama? That'll put him at or near the top of everybody's list. JT Daniels, Emory Jones, a kid coming in here Saturday for Florida, on the list. And that's it for the SEC. But yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised, but maybe next year. Just got to be consistent. I'm guessing he doesn't care. Just win the game. That's what he wants. Already have some callers holding. Let's go to line one. TJ is up first. How you doing, TJ?
Hey, buddy, I'll be quick. I know you got tons of callers. Great show. And I hope everybody's listening. I know they are because your show is awesome.
Thank you.
But I just want to say this. Look, we have 30 recruits visiting this weekend against Florida. This is not just an ordinary game. This is a program-changing game. And I know our guys have already beat Florida at the Swamp, but here's what I mean by that. We have 30 recruits coming, which one of the recruits is a mid-five-star recruit, which is Nick Saban's top wide receiver target, Berrien Brown. We are now in the talks of killing Nick Saban and Alabama recruits. We have to win Saturday, put on a good show. And if you're one of these fans saying blue and white stadium, it ain't going to work, go to Walmart, buy a $5 white or blue t-shirt and buy into it. Why do you think Penn State gets five-star recruits? Their kids love going into that Happy Valley and seeing the whiteout. And the same with Oklahoma State and the blackout, and the same with Arizona State. These 17 and 18-year-old kids love that. Go get a shirt, buy into the system. Let's get us a football program and beat Florida's you-know-what.
TJ, they've also made an offer to Za Frazier, who's a 6'4 junior cornerback. I don't know if he'll be there Saturday night, but I guarantee he'll have an eye on the game, won't he?
Oh, absolutely. I'm out in Arizona. I unfortunately cannot go to the game. We're doing some training out here this week. But you can better believe I will be tuning in, tearing down the hotel that I'm in my blue and white, cheering Go Cat. I might even get the cops called on me because I'm going to be so rowdy. Go Cat!
All right, TJ, thanks. And we appreciate your service. TJ checks in all the time from North Carolina. Line two is Anthony. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how you doing? I like that man's advertisement so far for UK football. That was truly great,
yes, sir.
All the way around. Yeah, he needs to be on the UK staff, to be honest with you. But I want to talk about Tubby Smith, and then you talk about Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K. This is going to be a special year in UK basketball if you really think about it, and honoring these two coaches, especially with our own Tubby Smith coming back in. You know, I don't know, or if you know, Dick, of how they're going to honor Tubby and then the situation in which Coach K.
I don't know what they're going to do for Tubby, but I will be very surprised and disappointed if they don't put his jersey in the rafters. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's won the national championship here.
Yeah. And he's the only coach who won one who's not up there yet.
Yeah, you know, if you think about that night, nobody talks about the 1998 squad compared to the 1996 basketball team. Or really, 78, but it was a different format for that 78 team to win the national championship.
That's right.
If you think about the 98 squad, you know, they were really, in many ways, considered Pitino's rejects. And if you think about it, that 98 squad, that was probably one of the best fundamental teams ever. You know, when Tubby would call a timeout, say like with about 1 minute left before halftime, every time that Kentucky basketball team executed the right play every time all year long. I know they had a slump during that year or February or so forth, but they executed every time when they were called to do so.
Exactly right. In fact, I charted that. It's funny you bring that up, Anthony, but just sort of unofficially – by my unofficial count, not just before halftime, but only two or three times coming out of timeouts when Kentucky had the ball, did they fail to score. And you're right there, you know, and they benefited from being coached by Pitino. Then here comes Tubby. And keep in mind now, he changed everything, offense, defense, out of bounds plays, practice schedule, all that stuff. And all the people who like to say, well, it's Rick Pitino's players, that pisses off those guys. They kind of laugh at it, but they're also offended by it because it minimizes the work they did adjusting to the new coach.
Yeah, so did Dick. And then if you think about it, that 98 squad won the regular season Southeastern Conference regular season schedule. Be the SEC champion.
That's right.
They won the SEC tournament. Championship. And then wins the NCAA. Not even the 96 squad, as great as they are, Rick Pitino did not do that, did not accomplish that.
Yeah,
of course, when they lost the championship in the SEC tournament against Mississippi State.
Yep, which helped them go on and win the national title. But you're right. You're absolutely right. And I got to let you go with this, but too many people talk too much about that 92 loss to Duke as compared to the 98 win over Duke and then the national title game. So I'm with you. Got to go, Anthony. I appreciate your call, brother. Thank you. I couldn't agree with more with him on every point. And like I said, New Year's Eve, high point. That's another to-be-determined tip-off time, by the way. We'll take a break, come back, and talk more Kentucky football with you. Bottom of the hour, Christy Thomas, here on 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
It's the one and only Deagle Double G.
Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg.
Da-da-da-da-da. You know I'm mobbing with the D-R-E.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What have you dug up now?
What kind of music you kids playing these days?
Turn that crap down.
This is what you'll hear in the Super Bowl, Dick.
I don't know if we'll hear that one, but...
Oh, I guarantee it.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I'll bet you $100.
It is a big one. That would be enough betting. You wonder if that's a prop bet in the Super Bowl.
The songs that they'll
play?
Yeah,
why not?
That'd be tough.
Offer some odds. You know, they'll figure it out. 280-2287. That's 280-CATS, 800-606-GAME. Tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge. And Kentucky football coming up this weekend, as you well know. Believe it or not, you may have already heard about this as well. This has been going around a little bit. But Penn State has supplied three of the key players for this game. You know about Will Levis. Did you know that Florida has two former Nittany Lions? Antonio Valentino, a defensive tackle, and Justin Shorter. And they have been telling their teammates all about Will Levis. And in fact, Valentino, who saw the banana eating on Twitter, say he told reporters, he said, when I saw it, he said, bro, what are you doing, man? But he has enormous respect for Will Levis, called him a freak. He said, one winter we lifted together. Now, when a D lineman lifts with a quarterback and reports to his teammates in the D-line room that the guy's a freak. I don't know, Billy, if there's any higher praise.
No, that's
there?
Telling.
Yeah.
That's very telling.
Yeah.
He must be a freak.
Now, 66 for 101. That's pretty close to 66% passing, probably 65. 902 yards, seven scores, but five picks. Cannot happen. We all know this. And he's fumbled a couple times. Cannot happen against the Gators. But what these two guys have told their teammates is he's good. Shorter said he can pass the ball very, very well. This is the receiver. But he said he could run the ball. He could put his shoulder down and run through someone, which we've seen. He can jump over someone. I've seen him do it all. He said, we'll be fine if we keep playing hard. But the D tackle said as well, don't assume that if you have your hands on him or you've squared up to him, you've got him stopped. Because he said Levis will keep those legs churning to pick up a few more yards. And what have we seen? We've seen him dive for first downs. Now, I know that doesn't make his coaches very happy, Billy, but you got to think his teammates will love it.
Well, that and lowering the shoulder in the Missouri game?
Yeah.
I mean, that instantly brings a boost of energy to the entire sideline when your quarterback does that. And he's broken off a couple long runs, Dick.
Yeah.
You're right. He dives a little bit too much head first, but kid's an athlete. Wants to use those legs.
Shorter said anybody who's been watching SEC – actually, this is Valentino. Anybody who's been watching SEC football clearly sees he can air it out when he needs to. And I think he's playing an offense where he's very comfortable, has the tools around him to really show what he can do. He said, that's what I was telling the guys this week in meetings. And, Billy, that kind of falls into place with what we had heard about what happened with him up in Penn State. Just wasn't the right situation, wasn't the right system. And I think it's telling as well that a former five-star wide receiver left Penn State and, of course, winds up at Florida.
That's all about finding the right system nowadays, Dick. That's
yep.
Exactly what Wandell Robinson did as well. Said that this was going to be the system that fits him the best.
Yeah.
If what NFL evaluators want him to do.
And it's not like he wasn't being used at Nebraska. He transferred more for family reasons, but wasn't crazy about lining up as a running back.
Yeah, starting running back his freshman year. Not what I expected, Coach.
No, he was getting beat up pretty regularly, but sometimes he seeks out that contact. That's what I like about him. Christy Thomas, next, 630 WLAP.
You're listening to Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Guess who's back?
still doing it, Andre.
Oh, for sure.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge, who is serenading us with music that we certainly will hear at halftime, the upcoming Super Bowl. It's got a lot of football between now and then. We'll see if Christy Thomas is excited about this Super Bowl halftime lineup. Big Girlie excited about Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and Mary J. Blige and the announcement of...
I don't really care. I want a good football game. I mean, I think the older I get, the less I care about stuff like that. I'll watch it, and when I don't think it's very good, guess what I won't do? I will not get on Twitter and blast people about it. I'll just be like, yeah, maybe next year. I mean, who cares? So I think people get so worked up over stuff like that that it's a little silly for me.
Yeah, I'm with you every step of that way. Well, let us talk about a big football game coming up here Saturday night. And we'll talk about you and your boys, Jeremy and Dusty, in a minute. But I'm really more interested, quite frankly, in your role as the stadium host because you've had some big games to work with some big crowds. And I'm thinking of the two Georgia games where if they win, you know, they don't clinch the East, but they're, you know, in a driver's seat. They are one step away from that if they can beat this Florida team. So tell me how you think this crowd Saturday night is going to stack up.
I think it'll be amazing, and I think it helps that it's a night game, that it's a 6 o'clock kickoff. I'll always say that anytime everybody's got a little time to be in the parking lot having some libations, then it's always going to be a good time. So even in the rain, you know, I know they're talking about maybe a little rain rolling in, and I've seen this crowd go nuts in the rain before. So I'll tell anybody that'll listen that, you know, it's one thing, you know, I think to be in that stadium and be in a really great atmosphere and be there when it's loud and when awesome things are happening. It's a whole nother deal to be down on the turf and sort of be in the middle of all that, kind of taking it all in. And it even starts when the team runs out on the field and the crowd goes crazy. You know, and then when, you know, a big score happens or a big stop happens or something really cool, you know, a really pivotal point in the game happens, you know, there's nothing like it. And, you know, I think just in the SEC in general, when you talk about last week and what a great environment that was in South Carolina, you know, Kentucky wants to play in that kind of environment on the road too. So it doesn't matter really where you're playing. I just think that people around here, they get it. They get the position that Kentucky's in. They like it. They want it. We've been looking for this for years. And so, you know, here we are. So I expect the crowd, rain or shine, no matter what's going on, to really be electric.
I don't know if you remember hearing this last week, but when Kentucky drove down, and I mean took its time and pounded the ball into the end zone with its first possession, that huge crowd at South Carolina sat down, and basically they all just started talking to each other. At one point, Jeff Pecoro said, "I feel like we're in church," because they quit making noise. They really did. Well, they took them completely out of the game.
You know what? Honestly, Dick, it was really hard to tell that on the broadcast. It was such a strange broadcast. So it was really hard to tell. You really weren't getting a feel for the ambiance and the crowd noise. You were listening to the commentators tell you, but you really heard it more and better, I think, on our radio broadcast what you know. So you had a better feel for it there than what you did. But, you know, that's exactly what you're after is to go to somebody else's house and shut them up and put it, you know, I guess it was Chris Rodriguez said, we're gonna shut that sandstorm up. He didn't want to hear it. There's nothing better. Better way to get started.
Middle of the third quarter, I thought to myself, you know, haven't heard much of sandstorm tonight. And there's a reason for that. Haven't heard that rooster crowing that much. Had their opportunities, but Kentucky's defense kept holding. And that brings me to my next question. One thing I think the Kentucky crowds, Christy, are still learning is how to be a weapon. And, you know, I don't want to compare it to basketball because at times the basketball crowd kind of goes to sleep. But I think there are times when the football crowds know, hey, they need us right now. Let's get after this. You know, when the other team's looking at a third down or Kentucky needs – a stop or something like that. I think it's still a process, but do you think it's been getting better through the years under Mark Stoops?
I do, I think it's not for lack of football IQ that this fan base really understands football and they understand the situation. They just it's a kind of a matter of okay, now it's time to stand up and get loud. This is when the team needs us to get loud. And I do think they've done better, you know, over the years. I think it's, you know, when you've got an exciting brand of football, which I think is exactly where you are now with, you know, with the new offensive coordinator and what this offense could really do, then, you know, fans are getting it, and it's definitely getting better. I mean, I think it has its moments. You know, you want it to sort of be this jaw-dropping situation, you know, and I think it's getting there for sure. Let me ask you a question, though, Dick. I want to know, what's more annoying, the South Carolina Rooster or Rocky Top?
Well, more annoying is probably Rocky Top because I've heard it 20 million times.
Yeah. You know, you can't escape it. Yeah.
No, I mean, you don't hear the rooster, you know, every time the somebody walks past the football field. It's more obnoxious, the rooster. Rocky Top's a great song, but, you know, if you have to hear it, especially if you're covering, you know, yet another blowout or something like that. But, yeah, I just because of sheer volume, and by that I mean number of times, I got to go Rocky Top.
I hear you. I hear that loud and clear.
Yep.
Christy, one of the best parts about radio is being able to make connections with your listeners, and I'm sure you do that a lot on the Don Franklin Auto Countdown to Kickoff, but the first time I heard you as the in-game stadium announcer was when I was in the bathroom at Commonwealth Stadium. I guess you do have a special connection
making memories
with those fans.
Yeah, lucky you. Well, here's what I'll tell you about that is with my on-field duties, a lot of folks have said, depending on where they're sitting in the stadium, that they really don't hear me very well. And that is a testament to it's not a great sound system. And I'll be honest with you and tell you that Mitch Barnhart has acknowledged that and said that's something we have to do better. We have to get, you know, that's on the list. I mean, if there's a list of things or an improvements that we're after and things we want to do, that's one of them. But it's not as high on the priority list as other things are. So I think you'll see a sound system get better there, which a lot of people will tell me that's where, they hear me better when they go to the concession stand or they go to the bathroom, but not as much when I'm out on the field. So I think that's something that will get better with as they start to make some more upgrades.
Anything you can tell us about what might happen? Anything special or out of the ordinary? Or are you sworn to secrecy? Or do you not even know until game day?
I don't even know until game day. And quite honestly, that's kind of how we've just rolled at Kentucky, and it's worked. So I immediately come from pregame radio and walk straight in. I grab a microphone. I grab some cards. I look over my very first take, and usually it's introducing someone associated with the University of Kentucky from a school education perspective, and I make that first introduction, and then I start to get my mind right about flipping through the other cards and seeing who's there and what's going on. And honestly, sometimes a couple of games ago, we had some former UK basketball players that were back, and there was no card for that because they didn't really know that they were going to be there or what time they would be there. And so that was something we just threw in kind of off the cuff, which was great, and fans love that. So sometimes that kind of thing happens when you've got a former player that's there or something like that all of a sudden shows up. It works out to be a really cool introduction.
Christy, we have a caller on the line that wants to ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
Wendell, you're on.
I may get banned from the celebrity hotline after asking this, but I've been going to games, been to a lot of games, and the environment has gotten better. I like what Dick said about the crowd being a weapon. The Florida games, the last four or five times in the last 10 years they've been at Commonwealth, has been awesome. But you were talking about introducing folks that have to do with education and this and that. It seems to me in the middle of the timeouts, I love hearing about the ice cream because I'm a person that loves ice cream with bourbon in it. I'm the person that loves ham, and I love 50 commercials. I understand you have to do that for sponsorships, but do we have to introduce the botany class, the engineering class, the law degree class, all of these folks? Because it takes a lot out of the timeouts. Things get really quiet, and you have to listen to it. And folks kind of lose interest during the timeout. Nobody really cares about that stuff. And
I'll tell you what they've done here lately, Wendell, is they have taken those things and put them in pregame. So those introductions and those kind of things are done in pregame, and then in in-game type stuff is the volleyball team or the men, you know, the men's basketball team or the rifle team, the Olympic that we had with UK Athletics. So lots of things like that that have happened in-game, so that at that timeout, that is far more exciting. The rub is when those people are teed up and ready to be announced, when the other team scores. And that's terrible, because now you're introducing people where you want the crowd to get really fired up and be excited, when they're not so excited because we just gave up a touchdown. So there's a real fine balance there, but a lot of those things that would be quote unquote maybe a little less exciting are now done in pregame rather than in game.
Yeah, a lot of times that stuff, you know, we don't go to the algebra class with all of the first year students and introduce Anthony Davis. You know, this is what Anthony Davis, he's an athlete, da 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 da. I just don't see the need for that. being a fan, being a person who goes to all the games, and most of the people in the crowd agree with me. I totally believe that might be anecdotal evidence of all the people around me, but it seems like there are things that could go on in between timeouts to make things a whole lot more exciting. I understand the sponsorship deal. Music could be a little bit better, a little louder. The music's gotten better in the last 5 years, that's for sure, but it seems like timeouts are a little boring.
Thanks, Wendell. Appreciate it. And,
I'll
Wendell's
tell you,
not
you
banned,
know, that's
by the way.
That's a situation, too, that, you know, we can't forget that all of these guys that are out on this field are student-athletes. They're not just athletes. They're student-athletes. And we're looking for really great game day environment, and they try hard. And they're always open for suggestions and trying to make things better. There's definitely a situation, you know, where we can't forget that. And we can't forget that the university is the reason why there's a football team. So there's some give and take with some of that. So I definitely hear you, but there's some give and take for sure.
Well, we got to talk some football. We're running low on time here, but I do need to get your take on what you think will happen and what angles are you taking when you bring in Mr. Bonner and Mr. Jarman, both of whom appeared. You're completing the trifecta, big girl, on our show this week. We already had those two guys on.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I think the most compelling storyline of the night is going to be this ninth-ranked offense against Kentucky's ninth-ranked defense. And, you know, you're talking about a rushing defense that's only giving up 87 yards a game against a rushing offense that is, you know, really, really getting it done. So, you know, I think that those two things are going to be really interesting, you know, especially for Kentucky coming off an excellent performance defensively against South Carolina. I mean, they really got the job done. So, you know, from that perspective, can they build off of that, understanding that this is a, you know, a very different team than what they played last week, but can they hang tough like that, you know, even when the offense is making some mistakes and putting them in bad situations? So they're going to have to bear down and have their best game yet, but I think that it's certainly doable. They have the personnel to do it. I love how, you know, a guy like Jalen Geiger is playing. Yusuf Corker, I think, has been great. DeAndre Square was amazing last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So guys like that I think if they can just build off of what they did last week, then that makes this one heck of a game on Saturday night.
Christy, there's times in which you say about a football team that they just weren't ready for. They didn't get up for the game. It could be a trap game. They weren't excited for it enough. I mean, I guess there's not going to be any issues for that this week playing against Florida, but could you see them coming out flat at all just because of them getting it inside their own heads?
Listen, let me tell you something. If that happens, I'm going to sell my tickets. And I say that just because these guys are way too smart for that. I feel like they're past that. You know, Chattanooga was certainly a game that I think that just was, they were very flat. You know, as I was listening to Dick talk about what things were like on the sidelines and kind of how the team was responding or not responding, I just don't think you have that issue. I think maybe there's a lesson learned there. And, you know, if we have to struggle to get up for a game like this, I'm selling my tickets to the first person I can unload them on.
No, I think it's going to be nuts. It really is.
Me
and
too.
I think
I agree.
It just comes down to, can they contain the quarterback? Can Kentucky's defense contain? And I fully agree with what you said about the defense. But the interesting thing is they're going to be asked to do different things now. But yeah, and we talked last night about and in some other venues about the fact I really believe that Jones and Square and Jeff and Tom talked about this a lot were at their very best when it comes to filling the hole. When it was reminiscent of what Marty Moore used to do when he would be waiting for the running back in the hole like he knew what the play was going to be. So you got to have some of that or a lot of that, but you also cannot let the either quarterback, if they use two, get out and run free and burn them downfield.
No question. And I think that's something that we've sort of been looking for all season is getting that pressure on the quarterback, getting those sacks. Look, I like J.J. Weaver in that role. I mean, gosh, that guy has just stepped up, you know, when you really didn't even expect him to. So, I'm with you. But I think all that spells a really, really cool environment on Saturday.
Well, we will be listening to you and Jeremy and Dusty and then listening for your announcements if we can hear you over the crowd
right, exactly.
during the ball game. Thank you, young lady. We'll see you Saturday.
Thanks for having
me. All right, have a good one. Christy Thomas, UK Sports Network. And we're back in a minute here on 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Come on, you tell me you've heard this one.
Trying to place it. Not exactly on my playlist. Drop it like it's hot. Yeah. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's this hard. Much I've heard. Try to get at you. See, I hear like a lot of these like when they're hard. Folded into like football videos or sports get videos. Pop
it like it's hot. Coming back to you now?
Oh, this one, yeah, absolutely. It's just that long intro. You know, when they put songs like this to videos that are always entertaining, they don't use the long walk-up half the time, unless it's particularly effective. They go to the meat. They go to the crux of the song. Now, see, when I hear Snoop, though, and when I see him at halftime, I'm going to think of him trying to sell me beer. Hey, it's pretty effective.
You think of beer when you think of Snoop Dogg?
Well, I do now. He's selling Corona, right?
There's going to be some illegal activity going on in that Super Bowl halftime show. I'll tell you that if they're going to have Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre up there.
Now, why do you say that? Illegal activity?
Just because of what these guys rap about and what they're kind of known for doing when they go on stage.
You think they're actually going to do that at the Super Bowl?
100%.
Wow. Do you really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're Snoop Dogg, you just, you know, the rules bend around you a lot of times.
Keep in mind now, this, well, not the laws, though, but remember, this is going to be in Los Angeles.
We'll see where the Super Bowl is. Oh, it's in Cali?
It's in SoFi.
Yeah. They're going to be smoking weed while they're doing the performance.
I doubt that. If you're gonna give me odds on that, I'll take them.
Another prop bet for the Super Bowl.
I can't say, though, that it's not going to happen before and after. You're saying during.
During, yes.
There, you know, we've got time to check on the state laws, the statutes. Could that really happen? What would happen if they did that?
Nothing. Just like they do it at all the concerts that they perform at. But I'll check the state law, though.
They actually burn one up on stage during their shows? See, I've never been to one of their shows.
I would say a lot of the hip-hop artists will burn up.
Have you witnessed that in person?
I have at a rock concert witnessed people do that, yes.
On stage?
In Louisville.
Not people next to you on stage?
No.
Yeah, next to you, I mean, the contact high is about as easy as it gets at a concert.
Louder than life is louder than life many a times.
I want you to write this down.
I'll give you and 2-1 odds that they smoke on stage during the Super Bowl.
All right, I'm going to take you up on that.
Okay.
Yeah. 2-1 odds right now. And what are the chances those odds change? Because, you know, when the betting public gets involved, sometimes the line moves.
I mean, we can do a future bet, and so the line stays where it's at right now.
Okay, and cause, you know, the last future bet I actually took part in? I had AP Indy at 8-1 on the Kentucky Derby back in the 90s. We need to think of an over and under as well.
Over under of what?
I don't know. That's my point. Amount, ounces.
Oh.
I don't know. There's got to be an over. If there are odds, there's got to be an over and under as well. We'll come up with something.
We got plenty of time.
Yeah.
I guarantee it happened.
Boy, did this show take an interesting turn. We'll get it back on track coming up in just a few minutes. Derek Abney, the best kick return man in UK history, joins us next. 630 WLAP.